The Master Speaks, Chapter 12, God Consciousness. To know our true identity is to solve every problem of so-called human existence. Actually, we are not living a human existence. Our existence is spiritual and divine. But because we do not know our true identity, it has become filled with discord and inharmony. If I know that I am I, and that this I is the infinity, the allness of God's being made manifest, the Word made flesh, then only can I realize that I am self-sustained and self-maintained. Someday all of us will admit that I is self-created. I, the very consciousness of my being, formed me before ever I was in the womb. According to this, you had form before you were in the womb. Somewhere you had form. I would not have been there at all if I, the divine consciousness of my being, had not been expressing itself in just that way. I, the divine consciousness of my being, formed my body after its own image and likeness as my vehicle of expression. I can no more be separated from my body than I can be separated from my life. My body is the form in which my life is appearing. My body is an expression of my identity. My parents did not create it. I created it. My consciousness created it, and my consciousness is maintaining it now in its present form. If my consciousness were to change, my body would change. If my consciousness of supply were to change, my supply would change. Always, consciousness is forming its own body, its own image and likeness. My consciousness of home has made my home whatever it is. My consciousness of business, of a practice, of health, expresses as my home or business or practice, my health or my wealth. Those who understand this principle and who have seen some of the slums or ghettos of New York City will understand that only the state of consciousness of the people living in them created those ghettos. In the city of Chicago, where not too many years ago there were open plains and people could have built any kind of home they wanted on those plains, slums and ghettos have grown up. In California, with all its open spaces, pure clean air and clear air and bright sunshine, there are also slum areas. Every city, every village, every town has its slums. Where do they come from? People bring them with them. First, they carry the slum idea of home in their consciousness, and then they build outwardly that which has already been built in their consciousness. People with limited concepts of homes and houses plant those limited concepts wherever they go to live, and when they move from place to place, they carry their slums with them. Why? Because their consciousness outpictures as their way of living. So that takes away the ability to blame, doesn't it? if you know that the reason why you're in poverty is because your consciousness is in poverty, then you know you have to do something to have a change of consciousness. As long as you blame somebody else, you don't have to do anything. So it takes not only willingness, it takes open-mindedness and honesty. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. That's the how of it. All right. There are times when we wonder why it is that we are the same this year as we were last year or the year before. Sometimes we wonder why, after years on the metaphysical path, no change has come. There is only one reason for it. Our consciousness has not expanded. We have remained at the same level of consciousness because our consciousness has not expanded, conditions for us have not changed or improved. You can prove this for yourself. Nothing in your outer world will change unless and until a change first takes place in your consciousness. Well, I guess that assumes that you've felt your own consciousness in a meditation. Okay, so again, he says, actually, consciousness is God. God is individual consciousness. God is your consciousness and mine. And were we to recognize and acknowledge that truth, this minute and each day, remind ourselves, my daily experience is not coming forth from my limited human background, my limited education, or my limited home environment. My daily experience is the expression or the emanation of the divine consciousness, which is God. We would find many changes taking place in our experience. We would then be bringing forth the harmony of God rather than the inharmony and discord of limited finite human sense. It is not your fault or mine that we have been carrying ghettos of one kind or another with us. It is because we were not taught in the beginning that God is our consciousness, and that we can experience the infinity of God merely by recognizing that truth. So that would be something very much needed to meditate upon. God is my consciousness. God is my consciousness omnipresence. It is not your fault and not my fault that we have been carrying ghettos of one kind or another with us. It is because we were not taught in the beginning that God is our consciousness, and that we can experience the infinity of God merely by recognizing that truth. Had we been taught that the principle as shown forth by the Master in feeding the multitudes is an ever-present, omnipotent principle, here and now, our lives would have been different. We should not be worrying, fearing, doubting, and thinking about how we're going to get along. We should not be concerned as to whether the stock market was rising or falling, or whether the cattle market was up or down, since we would know that all that exists as effect is the effect of our own consciousness when we realize God as our consciousness. I guess we all know the scripture that says, and they shall all be taught of God. Once you discover that God is your very own consciousness, and you can open out a way for consciousness to express, then you have the answers to life, all of life. Jesus had only a few loaves and a few fishes, and yet with those few loaves and fishes he fed the multitudes. If he proved nothing else, he proved this, that the substance was not in the amount of fish and bread he had. The substance was in the spirit that animated all existence. Aha. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Some years ago, I was under the dire necessity of learning the nature of supply at the point of rock bottom. I was forced to make my demonstration of supply. That is one reason why I can tell you not to be afraid of your problems. Work at them. Many times they will prove to be your greatest blessings. You will not recognize the truth of this while your problems are with you. But later on you will say, "Oh, what would I have been, or where would I have been, had it not been for the depth of that problem?" It is the depth of our problems that forces us to dig deeper into the ocean of truth. Very seldom do we go far along this path without some urge, and that urge usually is a problem. That was true in my case. When the problem was deepest and the lack was greatest, it came to me that my supply was not to be found in persons or dollar bills or in patience. Consciousness is my supply. My very life, my very being is my supply. Wherever I am in this self-maintaining and self-sustaining principle, and wherever I am, all that God is must be. This consciousness which is I am, this consciousness of my being is my supply, and it appears outwardly as loaves and fishes, or dollars, or automobiles, or apartments. And no one knows how that works exactly, unless you're standing behind the scenes. How could the knowledge that God is your consciousness express itself and appear as abundance? It's a mystery, but it happens daily. Happens daily in this consciousness. On every page of my writings, you will find this principle. Consciousness, or God, is the actual substance of that which appears as form. It has always been known that God is the substance of all that appears. It has always been known that God is the source of all supply. Then wherein does this teaching differ from other teachings? In part, in this: God is your consciousness instead of something out here or up there. This is the very core of the Infinite Way message. Its most important revelation, the most important one of all. Is that God is not something afar off, but that God is your very own consciousness. When you have comprehended that, you have found the secret of life. From then on, everything unfolds, discloses, and reveals itself. Your own consciousness appears as yourself, as your joy, as your prosperity, your success and as your happiness, home, and all your relationships, social, financial, or commercial. When you know the nature of God, the nature of omnipresence, when you know God to be divine consciousness, individual consciousness, your consciousness and mine, you have really grasped all that the Master asked of us when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Find out what God is and where God is. Find out the nature of God. That is your whole duty in life. You have nothing else to do. You have nothing in the world to demonstrate. If you are reading this book with inner vision, you can at this moment stop working on any problem. Except only one problem. What is God? What is the nature of God? What is the principle of life? When you have found the answer to the question, what is God? When you really have come to that place where you can say, I know now that God is individual life, mind, soul, and consciousness. Then you will discover that you have no further problems. Having found God as omnipresence, as the actual reality of your being, you will also find God in its infinite form of variety, which will include transportation, or dollar bills, or carrots, or potatoes. It appears in all forms. Since God is not a person, God is the eternal, immortal, omnipresent substance of the universe. God made all that was made. Out of what? God, being all, God itself must have made all that was made out of itself. If you can find God as consciousness, and more especially if you can find God as your consciousness, then you will find God appearing in all the forms which God assumes, husband, wife, friend, employee, and even enemy. Mark my words, even your enemy. That is why you have to love your enemies as deeply and sincerely as you love your friends, because God is the very substance, law, and principle of all those whom you may have been believing to be your enemies. Actually, they are not your enemies at all. An enemy is a false concept that you have entertained of someone. In fact, most of us entertain false concepts of each other and of the world. This is very easy to understand if we stop to think about what we are actually seeing in the universe. To begin with, God made all that was made, and anything that God did not make was not made. All that God did make, however, is good. Therefore, if what we are seeing does not measure up to the pattern, it is not because there is anything of an erroneous nature in the world, but because we individually, collectively, are entertaining a false concept of creation and of each other. Begin with this simple practice. First, find out what God is, and then find out where God is. When you find God to be the consciousness of your own being, when you find that God is your very consciousness, your very awareness, you will have found all the forms as which God appears. But it must be an experience and not just a thought. You will then find God unfolding itself, consciousness unfolding itself, revealing itself as your daily experience. Never forget this. That which appears as our daily finite experience is our sense of limitation, appearing as a lack of education or a lack of opportunity or a lack of a satisfactory environment. All of that is appearing as our limited daily experience. When, however, we begin to realize this great truth of being, that we are not limited to a finite sense of consciousness, we are not limited to a personal sense of existence, but rather God, the infinite consciousness of our being, is the source and the form of our life, then watch the miracles that begin to occur in our experience. Treatment by a practitioner is always a self-treatment. The world belief of a self apart from God, of a life apart from God, is so strong that many practitioners whom I have met have come under a sense of heaviness, which comes from the fact that they do not always live at such a high level of spiritual consciousness that they are able to laugh off this world hypnotism. The sincere practitioner must sit down occasionally, sometimes frequently, and do some serious treating. And let me be clear on this point. The treating is never a treatment of the other person. I have never in my life given a treatment to anyone. I have never addressed a treatment to any person on earth. I have never taken the name of the patient into my thought, or the name of the disease. So far as I am concerned, I do not believe it would do me any good to know the name of the disease, and I do not believe that the patients themselves know the names, and I am convinced that even the doctors do not always know the name of the disease. As a matter of fact, it would be much better if I did not know the name, since our work does not lie in the realm of healing physical bodies or physical diseases. We have agreed in this work that I and the Father are one, and that one is Spirit, or God. The only truth, therefore, that must be known is the truth about God. God, being infinite, includes all that appears as individual you or me, and that treatment excludes all diseases. In the human picture, there is height, width, depth, but all that is only a false sense of what is really going on, since Spirit knows no height, width, or depth. There is no such thing as a three-dimensional Spirit. But isn't that what we always want? We want the Spirit to manifest in infinite forms, infinite dollars. There is no such thing as a three-dimensional Spirit. Spirit is infinite and eternal life, and even though its expression And even though it expresses itself individually, it does not express itself as finite form. Therefore, there is no space element or time element in treatment. In treatment, we are absolute in the sense that God is absolutely all and in all, and through all, and as all. We are absolute in the sense that our treatment begins with God and ends with God. It never comes down to the human level. It never takes cognizance of any phase of human experience. It never tries to still the waves of the ocean. It just says, "Peace, be still," not to the waves, but to our belief that there is a finite condition anywhere. My treatment is always self-treatment. All of my work begins with the word God. I may translate that word, I may reinterpret it. No human being and no human condition ever come into my treatment. Why? Because if they did, my treatment would not conform to the master's treatment. The master's injunction about treatment was, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Certainly human thought is seeking extra supply. It is seeking a few more years to add to the date on a tombstone. Certainly the human world, the nations of the world, are seeking ease in matter. So we in this work are not attempting merely to postpone a date on our tombstone. We are not trying to merely to give you a healthy body for a few extra days or weeks or months. We are not here to help you increase our supply, $10 a week or $100 or $1,000. Our work is to reveal to you that God is your immortal life, and therefore, your life is not subject to death or accident or sin or disease. Our work is to show forth that God actually is omnipresent. In other words, you are the very presence of God, and you are no more subject to material conditions than God itself. Only the belief that you are something separate and apart from God can cause you to go on from year to year with the same old aches and pains and lacks and limitations. The moment you catch the slightest glimpse of the truth that I and my Father are one, that God actually is the life of your individual being, it is a marvelous thing. Catch one little glimpse, one little grain of the truth that God is your life, God is your consciousness, and you will find that you have no personal life, either to gain or to lose. The only life you have is God, self-maintaining and self-sustaining life. You will find the miracle that this vision brings into your experience. Let God express itself as you. Let God, the divine consciousness of your being, come forth as your daily experience while you watch. Become a beholder of God living your daily experience, and see how great and how infinite it is. The infinite way is not an organized movement. It has no membership, it has no dues, there are no financial obligations. But it is a movement, and it is a movement that is spreading throughout the world. I do not necessarily mean my work only. My work is but a part of something that is happening throughout the world in many forms, in many ways, in many countries. I do not know the reason for this. I only know that somewhere around 1924, the world passed from a very mental and mechanical state of consciousness into the beginning of a spiritual movement. A movement which ultimately is going to encompass the entire world. In other words, we are coming into a spiritual age. That does not necessarily mean that there will not be another war or that there will not be atomic bombs. There may be. Such things may wipe out much of the materialistic thought of the world. It may be that the new spiritual age will be founded on the remnant, or those who remain after the Holocaust. Never doubt but that we are at the beginning of a spiritual age. We are at the beginning of an age in which the acquisition of things or persons will be of very little importance. The realization will be that I and my Father are one, and that the place whereon I stand is holy ground. Therefore, right where I am, all that the Father hath is mine. I will live here in my sense of completeness, and you will live there, and neither one will envy or quarrel with the other. There are signs that that age is definitely here. As part of that spiritual surge, let us say that I, in my individual way, have caught a little glimpse of that, and through that have attracted to me those ready for the upsurge of spirit at this particular time. In many parts of the world, however, others have also felt the same surge of spirit. Others have caught this vision of the spirit and are attracting to themselves little groups, and in some cases very large groups. What has happened is that not only materiality has failed, but mentality has failed also. Now, let us be willing to admit that there is God. God is, and God is omnipresence. If our daily affairs are not showing forth the fullness of harmony, health, wholeness, happiness, peace, and joy, it is only because we have not yet tapped that spiritual power. Talking or reading about it is not going to do it. Talking about it, reading about it, and coming together in groups are only steps on the way. Each one of you must do what I had to do. Prove it. Demonstrate it. Show forth that God is, and that God is available here and now. There is but one way in which this can be done. First, the recognition that God is omnipresent. The recognition of God as the soul or consciousness of your being and mine. And second, the reliance on it. For instance, if you have some simple shopping to do tomorrow, instead of leaving home and saying, well, I shall have to shop in this store and that store and the other store, and I hope that I shall not have to go on to the fourth or fifth, take a few seconds for the realization of the presence of this spiritual power. Sit down for a moment of meditation, not to think about material things, but to think about the presence of God, and then wait until you feel that click, that little awareness of God's presence. If you do this, you will find the articles you wish to purchase so quickly and effortlessly that you will have the greater part of the day left for study, meditation, and communion. By this simple method, every experience of your family life, from the simplest things to the most complex, becomes easy, peaceful, and successful. You know that God is. You declare that God is. Now prove it. Sit down and get the feeling of that presence of God. Watch how it goes before you to make the crooked places straight. Watch how it opens up the lanes of traffic for you when you are driving. Watch how it does all things for you in your experience, how it even changes the attitude of other people toward you, and changes their relationship to you and yours to them. The things that you and I cannot do humanly, it can do for you. If you feel this it, that is the secret, you see. There is an it called God. God is. But God is only available to you and to me in proportion to our contact with it. There has to be a contact. You have to be in and of that God consciousness in order to attain it. All right. Although we use treatments, treatment is the smallest part of our work. Treatment is only used for the purpose of preparing ourselves so that we can feel God, we can sense God's presence, we can get the conscious awareness of God's presence. You never have to think of your patient at all. You never have to think of his beliefs because the all-knowing mind already knows what his business is And the moment you have contacted it, it goes about and fulfills its mission. You may ask, but how does that treatment reach my patient? The fact that your patient has asked for help has made him a part of your consciousness. There is only one consciousness, and if you consciously bring yourself to a practitioner's thought, you are in his consciousness. That is how patients get their help. Our work does not consist in the transference of thoughts. Our work is contacting God, the One Life, and then letting that life express itself in me and in you. It is true that you may ask a practitioner for help or reach out to him for help by telephone or telegram or email or text. As a matter of fact, at a certain stage of consciousness, you will find it possible merely to think of your practitioner and immediately receive your help. It will not be necessary even to write, telegraph, or telephone, but only to think of him, and the help will be there. The reason is that in thinking of him, you have turned yourself to his God consciousness, to his human consciousness, not to his human consciousness. Whatever of truth, therefore, is manifesting itself as the practitioner's experience automatically becomes yours. When you turn to a practitioner, you are not turning to a person. The practitioner as a person can do nothing more for you than you can do for yourself, unless he has attained a greater measure of the Christ consciousness than you have. If he has not attained a measure of the Christ, he cannot help you. That is the reason that one practitioner does better healing than another. That is why one practitioner gets better results than another. It's not that God is different in different cases. It's only that one practitioner has attained a greater unfoldment of God consciousness, and therefore greater results come forth. That is why the Master's work resulted in more healings than did that of his disciples. And as a matter of fact, the disciples never hesitated when they failed in a case to bring it to the Master. Why? It was the same God, it was the same truth, it was the same consciousness, but the Master attained a higher awareness of it. Every individual in the world has access to the same Christ consciousness to which Jesus had access. The difference lies in the degree of Christhood reached and maintained by Jesus as compared with that reached and maintained by you and me. Some practitioners devote their entire lives to the Christ ministry. Morning, noon, and night, and all night long, they have no other interest. They have given up their social life. They have given up their concern about the goods of this world. They have given up their concern about their family life. Their whole heart and soul and mind and body are in this ministry. It is natural that such practitioners will bring forth greater fruitage than the practitioner who divides his day into three parts: one part to the ministry, one part to social and family life, and the third part to sleep. Omnipresence. A successful practice requires a life dedicated to the recognition and realization of omnipresence. Omnipresence is the presence of all. Omnipresence is all presence. Allness is where I am. Therefore, there is never a need to look out to a person, circumstance or condition for anything necessary to my unfoldment. All that God is, I am. In this presence, in the very presence of I am, is the fulfillment of all that God is. God fulfills itself in all its fullness, in all its entirety, and its completeness, as the very presence that I am. In this awareness of omnipresence, there is no need to fear either man or circumstance, since the full protection of the Father accompanies this omnipresence. There's no need to seek outside for supply, because in this omnipresence is the presence of all of God's supply. This omnipresence is the presence of all God's children, and this assures me of companionship, friendship, right associations, and relationships. I need not seek outside my being for any person, companionship, association, or relationship, since omnipresence is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Omnipresence is the full power of God, and that power is good. That power is love. We do not humanly address or guide it. We realize its presence and let it do its work. It was this omnipresence that enabled the Hebrew prophet to pray, "Open his eyes that he may see." He prayed not for more warriors or more troops, nor for a greater supply of anything, but only that his servant's eyes might be opened. Regardless of what the need may appear to be, it, God, is omnipresent as fulfillment. It will do you no good to pray for it. Only pray, "Open thy servant's eyes," so that when those eyes are opened, you may behold, right here and now, is all that you will ever need for the fulfillment of your experience. Remember, before Abraham was, I am. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We do not seek it. We do not implore it. We do not petition it. We just realize its presence and wait until the feeling of reassurance comes. Then you will know that this consciousness of yours is the substance of all form. This consciousness of yours appears outwardly as the protection you need, or the dollars you need, or the home you need, or the friends or companions you need, or the health, or the new heart, or liver, or lung. Always it is this consciousness that is appearing outwardly. And so our prayer is, "Open my eyes that I may behold fulfillment and omnipresence." Wow. I think that chapter comes closest to my feeling of the presence of God than any other chapter. All right, let's see. I want to thank you for bringing this to my awareness. Thank you for drawing this out of me. And since we're so close, I do not wish for you a happy new year. I wish for you a happy new awareness, because what you are aware of, what you are conscious of in your consciousness, becomes tangible, touchable, as form. So, I wish for you a whole new awareness. Go into your meditation and ask the questions that Joel tells you to ask. What is God? Presence. Where is presence? Here, now. So rest in it until you feel the movement of consciousness, which is described as spirit on the face of the deep. Come into this new awareness. Make a resolution that you will persist until you feel its inner movement. If that takes 8 days, 8 weeks, or 8 months, make a commitment. No matter what, I will practice this meditation until I feel that inner self move. Till I feel the movement of that omnipresence, that spirit of the living God. Okay. Thank you. I'll see you next week. No, not next week, the one after. Next week's New Year's Eve. New Self Eve, I hope. New Awareness Eve. Thank you. God bless. Till we meet again. Come with claims of a mental nature. Instead of using the word life, I may use the word mind, and realize that God as mind is forever expressing its intelligence, its infinite wisdom, omnipresence and guidance, but always I keep my treatment right up there on the level of God, and there I stay. I begin with God, and I end with God.